We all love a good story, but a good anecdote is even better, briefly, amusingly, confirming or upsetting the reputations of those we thought we knew. Such tales can make the people next door seem famous, and reveal the famous to be reassuringly like the people next door. They are the threads of gold in life's rich tapestry, catching the eye with their significance or, just as often, because of their jolly, superficial allure. For anecdotes need not be weighty and significant. To our delight, many of the best tales about Christopher Martin Jenkins and the Test Match Special Team simply underscore the gentle wisdom, fun, and love of the game that was so evident in their every broadcast. What the good anecdote can never be, though, is dull. And the best, no doubt, are revealing, risque even. When Hugh Massingbird, my predecessor as the obituaries editor at The Telegraph, came to relaunch the page, he took as his model the 17th century writer John Aubrey, who summed up his contemporaries in a book entitled Brief Lives. Of one lawyer, Aubrey famously noted, "He gained more by his prick than by his practice." Revealing? Yes. Entertaining? Certainly. Massingbird knew that anecdote was the key to communicating a subject's personality, and made it central to the obits page ever after. Thus the comedian Frankie Howard's obit tells how he was once so nervous that he showered his audience with cheese sandwiches while performing To Be or Not To Be. Barbara Cartland was wonderfully bawdy in conversation, notably on the subject of the Duke and Duchess of Windsor's private parts. Churchill once confused the philosopher Isaiah Berlin for the composer Irvin. The tale of how an 11-year-old girl, Venetia Fair, named the planet Pluto over breakfast one morning in 1930 reminds us that even the smallest among us can reach for the stars. That of Edmund Hillary needing a pee immediately after reaching the summit of Everest shows that even the giants in our midst are mortal. But it is wit that we most enjoy. Peter Langan, the restaurateur, once responded to a distraught customer who complained about a cockroach with the words, "Madam, that cockroach is dead. All ours are alive." He then washed it down with a glass of vintage champagne. Lord St. John of Foresley responded to accusations that he was a compulsive name-dropper with the line, "The Queen said exactly the same to me yesterday." Above all, we love to hear the anecdotes about bounders. They are often the most scandalous, and so the most delightfully entertaining. The 7th Marquess of Bristol, for instance, once lent a guest a rubber dinghy to fish in the lake at Ickworth, and then shot at it until it sank. The more she screamed, the more he laughed. And no anecdote in this vein can better that told about Simon Raven, the novelist and cad who died in 2001. Having wandered from the domestic homestead, he once received a telegram from his wife. It read, "Wife and baby starving, send money soonest." His reply was, "Sorry, no money, suggest eat baby." The well-judged anecdote is uniquely telling. The writer and war hero Paddy Lee Fermor was famed for kidnapping the German commander of Crete during the war, General Karl Kreeper. But as Lee Fermor marched him over Mount Ida, the mythical birthplace of Zeus, Kreeper looked up at the peak and recited in Latin the first line of an ode by Horace, "See how Soracta stands white with snow on high." Without missing a beat, Lee Fermor completed the poem. It is a tale in which the characters of both men shine through the bullets and bloodshed of warfare. For facts and figures help us to understand achievements, but only stories allow us to understand people.